Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 2, Hiranyakashipu, King of the Demons, text number 36. Tatraha Preta Bandunam.
Tatraha Preta Bandunam.
Ashutya Paredevitam.
Ashutya Paredevitam.
Aha Tan Balako Bhutva.
Aha Tan Balako Bhutva.
Yama Swayam Abha Gatiha.
Yama Swayam Abha
Gatiha. Tatra.
There.
Ha. Certainly. Preta Bandunam, of the friends and relatives of the dead king. Ashutya, hearing. Paridevitam, the loud lamentation. So loud that it could be heard from the planet of Yamaraj. That's very loud. Aha, said Tan unto them, the lamenting queens. Balaka, a boy. Budva, becoming. Yamaha, Yamaraj, the superintendent of death. Swayam, personally. Pagataha, after coming. Translation and purport devised Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. While the queens were lamenting for the dead body of the king, their loud cries were heard even from the abode of Yamaraj. Assuming the body of a boy, Yamaraj personally approached the relatives of the dead body and advised them as follows. Purport. Sometimes the living entity is forced to give up his body and enter another one according to the judgment of Yamaraj. It is difficult, however, for the conditioned soul to enter another body unless the present dead body is annihilated through cremation or some other means. The living being has attachment to the present body and does not want to enter another, and thus, in the interim, he remains a ghost. Living being has already left his body. The living being who has already left his body has been pious. Yamaraj, just to give him relief, will give him another body. Since the living being in the body of the king had some attainment to his body, he was hovering as a ghost, and therefore Yamaraj is a special consideration. Approach the lamenting relatives to instruct them personally. Yamaraj approached them as a child because the child is not restricted but is granted admittance anywhere, even to the palace of a king. Besides this, the child is speaking philosophy. People are very much interested in hearing philosophy when it's spoken by a child. Here it mentions how attached we are to this body. Just as in the spiritual world, people are attached to Krishna. Now, sometimes we consider that, how can I ever give up this body? What would, if I was actually going to serve Krishna, what about my service? What would I get? In other words, this idea that I become selfless and I just become Krishna's servant, we think, well, something's wrong with that equation. So we're afraid that somehow or another I'm going to miss something. If I just become Krishna's servant and I'm just serving selflessly, then what about the things that I want? Well, here we're in this body and we become servants of the senses. In other words, servants we remain. We've just become servant of our mental ideas from the mind that we are this body, which is arising out of the false ego. Mike? So, rising out of the false ego, that we are this body, and therefore we serve the desires of our minds. And our impulses coming from the senses. So we remain servants, but we remain servants of the material energy. Now, the material energy, although we've been serving it very faithfully since time immemorial, it hasn't been very merciful to us. In other words, it's put us in situations which are rather uncomfortable. You think that if you serve faithfully since time immemorial, the material energy would make some concession and give you a break. But there's no succession to the demands of the energy, material energy, nor are they very merciful, puts us in very unpleasant circumstances, nor are we ever aware of the fact that we're doing anything wrong. Matter of fact, we may find ourselves in a most regrettable circumstance and still think we're doing everything perfectly right, that there's some other cause other than my own activities. Just like now, the whole world is in a lamentable situation, or most of it, and people are blaming the coronavirus, or they're blaming the, what do they call that, the people who are supposed to be the deep state or whatever. What do they call that? The people who are behind the scenes manipulating everything. What's that? Something I guess they call it, different things. The elites or whatever they call it. But actually it's everyone's personal misdeeds that's got them into that situation. Nothing happens by accident. It is not that one is an innocent victim and the material nature somehow or other made a mistake and put an innocent person into a difficult situation. No one is simply getting the results. Karmadi nirdahati kintu tabaja bhakti bhajam. That whether one is Indra or an Indra Gopa germ, everyone is simply receiving the results of their karma. And one of the results of karma, of illusion, is that we're so attached to this body, we think it's our only shelter. And without the shelter of this body, where would I be? What would I do? What would be the purpose of my existence without having shelter of this body? And with such a conception, we won't, even after we give up the body, then we want to come back. We want to stay there in the form of a ghost, uselessly attached to the body. At least when we're in the body, there's some opportunity to get some kind of happiness from gratifying the senses. But as the ghost, there's no way of getting any happiness from gratifying the senses because the senses don't work anymore. But that's the nature of illusion. People are so attached to their body and the material conception of life that even when they're faced with a difficult situation like having to leave it, they won't leave it very easily. And why? Because Vatirana Krishne Paratakshitova Mito Bipadyeta Griha Vratanam Adanta Gobhira Vishitam Tamizram Punak Punas Charvita Charvananam. Prahlad Maharaj said, Matira means our consciousness. So, we're not trained where to put our consciousness. Well, we are trained, but we're wrongly trained. Matira in the Krishna, not Krishna. Of course, they don't use the word Krishna. The whole modern civilization is not God. If you want to choose a God, that's all right. But don't choose a God who has a form. Don't choose a God who's actually in control of the universe. Don't choose a God who judges people, good and bad. Don't choose a God who is actually attractive. You can choose an old man sitting on a throne, angry old man. But don't choose a beautiful young boy, all attractive boy, playful, enjoying. That would not be very auspicious for us trying to control you. So, yes, you can go to school and you can learn all kinds of things, that everything came out of nothing. You're just a better version of an ape. Or maybe not such a good ape. You can learn so many different things, but don't learn anything of any value As Prabhupada said, even you go to school, where will you learn that you're not even your body? Now, first instruction in Bhagavad Gita is that the body is changing. So, who can deny that? Can anyone here say that the body is not changing? They're never going to go old. We're all expansions of Peter Pan. And that we actually live in Never Never Land. No, even a child knows that their body is changing. Now, the person who's inhabiting the body, who's conscious of the body, we know we're not changing. Now, even this basic knowledge of reality is not even taught at the best universities in the world. Which means, actually, since they don't know this basic knowledge, what they're teaching is ignorance. You can go to school and pay $50,000 a semester to learn ignorance. Now you may think, well, they're doing so many important things, like building 5G or something, so we can be connected. Everything can be connected, so you sneeze and they record it somewhere in China. As if that has any value to actually getting out of our real problems, namely birth, death, old age, and disease. Now, if technology could solve those problems, it would be valuable. But if technology simply helps us die quicker, what is the value? Or will it become more confused, running after phantasmagoria? Now, by this technology, we're going to be able to live. Practically speaking, that's what they're looking forward to, is living in another virtual reality. Modern technology will help us live outside our present boring, problematic material existence. We can live in a virtual reality of our choosing, where we can actually imagine that we're controlling. Because after all, here we're trying to imagine we're controlling, and we're not doing a very good job. But there we can choose another level of illusion, where we could actually be controllers. Until the power runs out and our virtual reality machine doesn't work anymore. Therefore, real knowledge is the fact that our body is changing, but we're not changing. But even we leave our body, we can see, even you leave your body's lying there, still you're identifying with it. So how great is illusion? You're hovering it over in your subtle body. Your body's lying there. It's broken. In the case of this king, it's lustrous. The eyes have no luster. And you're so attached to it, you won't leave. Although you should have some knowledge that you're a spiritual being. But such is the greatest the attachment. Ahani, ahani, bhutani, gacchanti, yamalayam. That it's so amazing that at every moment so many people are dying, but those who remain behind consider that this horrible thing will not happen to me. Vatirana Krishne paratakshatova. So they're putting their consciousness, they're putting their desires in so many things, they're trying to solve the problems of material existence. Namely, they want to prevent problems. So they have individual resources. You can go on the internet and they'll tell you how to solve whatever problem comes up. They can't tell you how to solve all the problems, but they can tell you solve this problem. If you get a wart, you can go and buy this medicine and it'll solve your problem. Or they have big conferences, climate change or whatever else they're doing. In big conferences, of course it doesn't change the climate. But they have them in order to solve these problems. Stop CO2 emissions. The cows are producing too much gas, passing air all the time. Kill all the cows. So they have a solution. But what is it all about? Griha Vratanam. we made a vow to live in a body. Griha means house. And the first house we live in is called a material body. And we made a vow to make this body as comfortable, as pleasant as possible to inhabit for as many years as possible. And we want others to appreciate, glorify, remember, hear, chant, and remember about our body and its activities. And there may be a combination of both. We may go on the internet or whatever else, get advice, how to correct our problems, or go to conferences, parataha. So by a combination of both, personal endeavor and help from others, try to remain in this, we've made a vow of rata to stay in the bodily concept of life and work out all the problems. Although we've been here since time immemorial, we still haven't worked out some of the problems, namely all of them. We haven't made any progress whatsoever, but we're quite determined to somehow or another solve something that's unsolvable. So that's called madness. Griha vratanam. So we try to solve the problems of the body, and if it gets strong and healthy, then we try to solve our family's problems. Send the children to a nice school, have a nice house, mow the lawn, etc. And if we solve that problem, then we try to make sure everyone in our neighborhood has a mowed lawn, because otherwise the property values will go down. And if we solve that problem, then give money to the state, let them get a nice army, they protect my house. And if we solve that problem, then let everyone, except for all the human beings, be happy, except for the animals. There's one religion, they have a picture. You're in heaven with Jesus Christ. Everyone's there with you because they've all gotten their bodies back after they've been resurrected. So grandfather is there, grandmother is there. The children are there. They're all in their little bodies, the grandfather and grandmother in their old body. You're there, whatever body you have. And everyone's happy. Jesus Christ is at the head of the table. Everyone's happy except for the poor turkey, because it has a knife in its back. So this is a conception. Everyone's happy except for the poor animals, because they have no soul. This is their extent of knowledge. Even the big theologian, Thomas Aquinas, he gave the definition of the soul. There's three kinds of souls. There's the human soul, there's the animal soul, and then there's the women's soul. The women have souls, but they're in between the animals and the human beings. So this is their extent of knowledge, which is ignorance. And because of that ignorance, we're taking one body after another. And even we leave this body, here this king is hovering as a ghost, but we have information from the Bhagavatam that in the fight between the demigods and the demons on the shore of the ocean of milk, sometimes when one's body was killed, that one was so determined to go on fighting that as a ghost, some of the warriors would pick up the bodies and continue the fight. They'd have ghost bodies, but they were so determined, they'd pick up their dead body and continue the fighting with their dead body in the form of a ghost. So that's really attachment. That's people who really don't want to die. But they're already dead. But they just don't, they don't want to admit it. And here it says that sometimes higher authorities are merciful, such as Yamaraj, if one has some pious activities, and tries to put an end to this level of madness, so that one can go on and get an opportunity to make some spiritual progress, perhaps. Or at least, even if one has to come back and suffer, at least that suffering will enable one to maybe wake up and take shelter of Krishna. Because after all, suffering is a major inspiration for taking shelter in Krishna consciousness. So even better to suffer and go through a process of getting one's karma than to simply hover around as a ghost on the mental platform, lamenting. Oh, my poor body, it looks like it's hurt. Wake up. Therefore, we have this Bhagavatam is such valuable information, because otherwise, if people don't have this information, they may find themselves in any varieties of situations, and they won't know what to do. But if one has sufficient information, even in the worst situation, one will have some intelligence, how to take shelter of Krishna, how to actually make some progress to becoming spiritually awake again. So I'll stop there. Even it says in the nectar of devotion, under ghastliness, there was one devotee praying that he was in the boat of Yamaraj. He was in one of the hells, and people were there sick, and there's all kinds of disgusting things all around him, but he's just praying to Krishna to be merciful to him. So if you have enough knowledge, even if you're in hell, you can still chant Hare Krishna and make some spiritual progress. It's probably better than being in the heavenly planets and thinking that you become God. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Okay. Thank you, Maharaj. When my grandfather died, you know, my grandmother was crying. And I was already here in the temple, and she was asking me that she wanted to go to him also when she will die. And I said, well, Krishna says that if you want to go to the planets of Pitris, forefathers, that somehow I said, maybe you will go, maybe you will not. But, you know, I didn't know what to say to her. And she was just crying, you know.
Yeah, you should tell her that they should cremate your grandfather. And she should jump into the fire, and then it'll be assured. Thinking of him, of course. Of course, I don't know if she was prepared to take that advice, but yeah. What can you tell her? Did you tell her she's not her body? Didn't really die.
That didn't help.
What's that?
It didn't help. I told her.
Yeah, but anyhow, what can you do? Give her some prasadam. Did your mother and father go to try and pacify her?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyhow, she has some protection and she'll feel some. Yes.
I have two questions. One question is, sometimes devotees are asking, it seems that like Jada Bharat's story or some other stories, apparently some, even though we do chant Hare Krishna, sometimes there is a danger of either visiting hell or gliding down. So what is the sure... Is there some guarantee, when there is a guarantee that one is not going to...
Sure, we can give a guarantee. And if not, you can come back and get whatever reclaim here. Whatever was put up for the guarantee. No, there is no guarantee. If Krishna made a guarantee, we're already lazy and apathetic. As Prabhupada said, so many of my disciples are looking forward to going to the heavenly planets. So we just become lax and even lazier than we are. So these stories were put in there just to make us somewhat cautious so that we don't become slack and lazy and apathetic. We go on with our determination to go forward in Krishna consciousness.
And one more question regarding what kind of God do we worship. So some people will challenge us, saying that you are choosing such a young boy as your worshipable God because you want to be like Peter Pan, avoiding responsibility. You don't want to grow up. That's why you worship not a solid married God of some kind, but the young boy who has no responsibilities.
Yes, that's what we want to do. we want to go to a place where we're joyful and we're playing all the time and we're always happy. If you want to go to some other place, well, good luck. Why do they sell so much cosmetics? If people are just want to, you know, why are people doing exercise? Why do they take their vitamins? They want to go to, you know, why do they go to church, pray to God? Please send me to a place where I suffer forever. No, they want to go to where we want to go. Vaikuntha, a place where there's no distress or anxiety. Everything is joyful. Anything else? Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.